Blog Talk Radio. Remember the Sabbath day, and that's one thing that I try to tell you all to remember to keep it holy. That is the fourth commandment. You are to rest and keep that day holy. Read it for yourself. You'll find it in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. And I want you to know that the Sabbath starts on Friday evening and ends on Saturday. I also want you to have your three P's ready. What are they? Your pen, pencil, and paper. But you can add some other things now. They have new technology. I think it's called the iPhone, and then iPad or whatever. There's new technology out in the world, and I'm not abreast to it. I am old school, and I'm not ashamed to tell you that I am old school, and I read from the King James Version of the Bible. I have read maybe one or two from other Bibles, but they don't give me what I need. And it's the words in the old King James Bible seems to me to be correct. Maybe I'm wrong, and it doesn't. It has the thous and those and these, whereas the new Bibles that I have read do not have those thous and these in them. They make it easier for you to read. But I just like reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And a lot of times I cannot pronunciate the words that are in the King James. Hold on for a moment, please. I had to find my favorite scripture to read to you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And that is what you sheep should want. You know, you tell your Father, our Father in heaven, what is wrong with us or what you're thinking about doing. And I know that I need to think about saying a quick prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this moment in time, for allowing me to talk on Blog Talk Radio. I understand that they do not have as many listeners as they used to, but those sheep who are listening, thank you. I am doing your will, what you told me to do, to feed your sheep, and I really did not understand it. And I asked you again, and you made it simpler for me. You said, minister unto the people, and I didn't want to hear it. And I was trying to get out of that dream, and you said to me, fear not, I will be with you. And that's the only thing that keeps me going. Thank you, Father, for giving me the courage to talk to your people and giving me a way. Bless us, Father, with good weather. Protect us from natural disasters as they are going on. The East Coast, there were lots of floods, and I dreamed about that years ago, maybe 15 years ago, because I wanted to retire and go to North Carolina, but you told me not to go that route, and I did not. I stayed here. Father, I thank you for everything that I have, that you have given me. Protect me, Lord God. Our Father, from chemical disasters and natural disasters. I said that already. Thank you for protecting us and looking out for us. Even though the enemy has come against Detroit, Michigan, and taken a lot of the things that we have, I want you to deal with them personally for taking our waterboarding, trying to charge our money. Our tax dollars built that water company, not them to give it over to some other place that is charging us, that is overcharging us. You know who they are. I should not wish anything bad on them, and I don't. But they should not take our water and charge us for something that we have built for the multitude of people. Father, bless us with prosperity. And those who are brokenhearted, like this morning I started crying. I don't know why. Whatever it is that's bothering me, clean it up. Protect me from it, as you always have. I thank you, Father. Now let me get on with the program. I say that prayer in Yeshua's name, better known as Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to start reading from Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 1. And oh, by the way, it's on my mind that we know how, we have learned how the Egyptian or the tribe of Jacob called Israel, how his name was changed, as well as how he got into Egypt. That is, he walked over into Egypt. Well, perhaps he rode in carriages, he and his family, their herds, and whatever animal they had. That is one thing that we should remember and have found out. And another thing we should know, that in those days, the majority of the people were black people, just as the guy Nasser, who was a former president of Egypt one day, said that Israel, not white people. And that was years ago that I heard him say this. And people probably have forgotten, but I have not. So I realized that those people that are over there now, as in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 9, and in 3, Revelation 3, verse 9, children over there, they say they're Jews, and they're not. It's, we are the ones that should be there. Now let me just read, starting at chapter 1. And if there's anything else, I'll read as far as I can. And then, if there's anything else that I should say, Father, let me say it to your people who are listening, according to me, that none are listening. But for those that call me after I get off the air, I thank you for it anyway. And I don't really accept phone calls. You told me, Father, to feed your sheep and minister unto your people. And that's what I'm trying to do. Let's start reading Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in every household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Tali, Gad and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the ruins of Jacob were 70. You got that, 70 souls. And Joseph was in Egypt already. So remember that ship. And Joseph died, and his brethren and generation that and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty in the land which fulfilled in the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it came to pass that when, excuse me, I had to burp. I don't know why. That always happened. I don't know why that always happened. And it came, verse 10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply past that wind. There followed out any war, they joined along unto the enemy and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Ramsey treasure cities, Python and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more that they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with fear, and they made their lives bitter and hard bondage. That's like a slave bondage. Water and brick and in all the manner of service in the field, all their services therein made them serve was with vigor. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives of the names of the one was Shippar, and the name of the other Puha. And he said, when you do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, see and seat them upon the stool. If it be a son, then you will kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. Wise feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men child children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. That's true, we are not. Our lively and delivered them here with midwives come into them. Well, I need to look up the word here, but E-R-E, to know the definition of that. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very severely. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born shall be cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. That ends the reading of Exodus chapter 1. Now, you can see that were over us at the time. Even at that time, Jesus had not been born yet. And he came through Joseph's tribe. We will read that a little later on. You'll find out, like, when we get to Solomon, you'll find that Solomon is a black man, but comely. That means he's handsome. He's cute. He looks good. He's, you know. Nonetheless, I hope that if you do not read Exodus and understand what it is saying in chapter 1, read Exodus 1 for yourself. See, and those who are listening, read it for yourself. He wanted to kill Joseph's sons, all the sons that were born to Joseph. That enemy we have had to deal with since before Jesus was born. So, you know that we have to, there comes a time, a dog, just like a dog, gets tired of being mistreated. He will sometimes maybe come after you. It's about time that we go after the enemy. We know who our enemy is. I think you know. We know who that is. But we are so comfortable. And yes, we are. I thank our Heavenly Father for that. Our Father in heaven is supposed to come in 2:19, in that when I was in school in history class, we were told that, they landed in 1619 in Jamestown, you know, the first slave. And so I'm thinking that, and I can't remember if it was June or July, but it is coming. And some of the people are killing themselves and doing things like grabbing airplanes. But I see, as well as you see, that on the West Fire that's burning in Genesis, I forget where it was, but it's going to be not fire. Not rain this time, but fire. And it is slowly happening. See, I want you to find it for yourselves in the Bible. I forgot where it was, but I think it was Genesis 5. I don't remember. But it's about a rainbow being put in the sky so that we will not be flooded again. But it's going to be fires. And I think that we are at the beginning of this. Read Matthew 24, starting perhaps at verse 3, where his disciples asked him, what are the signs of the things that are going to happen in the last days. And he told them. So write it down and read Matthew 24, and you'll know as much as I do. So let's go into Exodus and start reading chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man from the house of Levi and took two wives, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months, and that's Moses, you all. And when she hid him longer, excuse me, verse 3, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of burlash, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch is tar, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flag by the rivers. His sister stood far off to wit what she had done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark coming, the flag, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw a child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And she, that makes me wonder, why didn't Pharaoh's sister have her Egyptian, or she had think of it now, but she had Israel's daughter working for her. She should have realized and known that. Verse 7, then she said to his sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." The woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. Hold on 1 second. Someone called. And it came to pass, let me see, and she called his name Moses. and said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days with Moses, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied Egyptian smiting in Hebrew, and one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew him, the Egyptian, and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrew strove together. And he said to him that did that, and when, let me read verse 13 again. And when he went out on the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest be thy fellow? And he said, who made thee? Thee is you, a prince and a judge over us. Intended thou to kill us as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well, by the priest of Midian. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and held and helped them and watered the flock. And when they came to Raul, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon to this day? And they said, an Egyptian drew us water, delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? That you have left the man. Call him that he may eat. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son. And he called his name Gershom, and he said, I have seen a stranger. I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by the reason of bondage, was of slavery, and they cried and unto God by reason of bondage. Again, bondage means slavery. And God heard their groans, their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So that is the reading of chapter 2 of Exodus. Remember, the king of Egypt has died, and a new king has come. And the new king does not remember what the agreement was with Joseph and the old king that passed away. So he has put bondage on them. I want you, sheep, and those who are listening, to read Exodus 3 and 4. Perhaps I will be able to read them to you next time. I should be with you on this Friday at 5 o'clock. So I want you, sheep, to have read over Exodus 1 and 2, plus read 3 and 4, so that when I come to you this Friday, you will know. My goodness, all these attacks on my computer. Thank you for watching over me. You didn't let those attacks come through. And they should not come through, because I'm reading the Word of God. Somebody does not want me to read the Word of God unto you. And I'm just reading pretty much what is in the Bible. And I stop and tell you some things that I have seen or witnessed on the public TV. I remember about Nasser, who was the president of Egypt, I think he said he was. And he said that now black people, did not have white people years ago in the United States and United Nations in 1948 put them there. And so some of these white folks are saying that they belong there. But from my readings, Jesus has got to put us back in the land, probably next year, because if you read in Genesis chapter 15, he tells you that where the land is. So he is going to put us back. We belong from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. That's where our land is and where we're supposed to be. I thank you, Steve, for listening to me. You could have been somewhere else doing something else, but you decide to listen to me. You decided to listen to me. Let me just have a closing word of prayer before I tell you other things. Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing me to bring this word unto your sheep. Thank you for protecting us all the time, even though we get attacked from other things, other people, whatever, Satan. We get attacked daily by Satan. Keep us, Father, in your hand, and keep us, remind us to remember to read your Bible. As James said in chapter 4, verse 15, if it's God's will, I will be back next time. Excuse me, I had to burp. I had to do a big burp just then. Remember the 12 tribes of Israel? They are brown people and light brown people. They are Judah, the American blacks, and we call ourselves black African Americans. That's what we call ourselves. But we are not. We are the tribe of Judah. Benjamin, the West Indian black, Levi, the Haitian. And you don't find this, but you, if you go around into your libraries and search, you'll find that the Haitians kicked out French who were trying to enslave them. But we, Judah tribe, did not have not fought back yet. We might have to. I don't know. Ephraim, the Puerto Ricans, Manasseh, the Cubans, Seminole, the Dominicans, Zebulon, the Guatemalan, to Panama, the Mayans, Gad, the Native American Indians, Reuben, the Seminole Indians, Asher, Cuban, Colombia to Uruguay, the Incas, Issachar, the Mexicans, or the Aztecs, Naphtali, the Argentinians, and Chileans, and I got that information from another group, and I hope that they researched it all, being that it's wrong. I tell you to purchase my books from Amazon. I have three and trying to get the fourth one there. The Passing, The Broken Plant, and The Unseen by Sandra Harris. Those books are to entertain you. I want you to listen to me next week or this Friday. It is God's will. I will be back with you.
Salvation.
And that's what we
want. Lift up our hearts.